Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Today's sponsor is Gamefly, where you can find over 8,000 new releases, as well as classic games available to rent for a low monthly fee. Sign up and get a free month at GameflyOffer.com/SPFVGS. Welcome to Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover, episode 98. You're listening to the number one video game podcast on the internet that features my best friends. I'm one of your hosts, Adam Redding. Joining me is Mike, the Platinum Party Platter, Lopez.
Yeah, there you go.
It's good.
Tasty.
Yeah, solid. Yeah. Solid, I thought.
Very good.
David, Mr. Incredible, Tate.
Whoa, thank you. I just saw The Incredibles 2. I'll probably throw that into what I've been playing. But hey, thank you for that introduction, Adam, Father of the Year, Redding.
Oh, thank you very much.
I demand a recount.
Wow. Adam won Father of the Year.
Yeah, Father of the Year.
Yeah, I saw the plaque and everything.
Baby.
Yeah.
And that other voice you're hearing is, back by popular demand, OG super best friend, Jeremy Fox.
I created a bot that would upvote me.
It was very effective, because here you are.
Yeah, here you are.
It worked. Excellent.
The Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover Podcast comes to you every fortnight, with each of us coming to the table to discuss one burning topic from the world of gaming.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Great intro.
It gets more and more outlandish every time.
Yeah.
What are you gentlemen playing at?
I say we let Jeremy go first.
No. Oh.
So I'm going to tell you guys a little secret.
Okay. I'm ready.
I'm adopted.
Oh, just kidding.
Oh my gosh.
So I thought I'd reveal it on this podcast.
As long as you're okay with hundreds of people hearing your secret, then go ahead.
Oh, wow. I thought there was only tens of listeners.
Tens and tens.
There are dozens of us.
No, I am a fan of Killing Floor. And I don't like to talk about it very often because it's so silly. And I've been playing a lot of Killing Floor 2. And man, it's like there's a 13-year-old that designed this game like years ago in like a notepad. And I love it. It's so fun. They just had a huge summer sideshow update, which like
That's
changed
awesome.
The game a lot. And it's just fun. I can play it for hours.
Super gory, right?
Yeah, super silly, actually. Gory and silly. Like, nothing makes sense. Like, don't ever try to go like, well, why is there a clown? You know, like, you'll never understand why anything's happening. But it's kind of like a loosey-goosey Left 4 Dead because it's got the same kind of, like, teamwork that it takes a lot of, like, teamwork to like create choke points, and you have to like really be playing it super strategic and keeping other people safe. And
do you use this teamwork to make the dream work?
No.
Oh,
no, it's a nightmare.
No, okay.
It's a constant nightmare.
Okay.
And but you can make the nightmare work using teamwork. It just doesn't
teamwork makes the nightmare work. It kind of loses all the punchiness, but I get it.
And I've also been playing Enter the Gungeon, which I texted Adam and told him to play with his son because it's so fun.
Oh, yeah. I really want to get that. I've been eyeballing that one for a while. And now I was just looking at it on the old Switch. And I'm thinking that might be good for the Switch.
Sure, for sure. And also, it's probably my favorite twin stick shooter of all time.
Really?
That's awesome.
And it's also just a really good roguelike. Like, it's just a, like, I was playing Moonlighter a little bit, that new game that just came out, Moonlighter. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this sucks. I'd rather play Enter the Gungeon. They do it everything better. Like, they just do everything better.
That's a, it's a shame for that Moon one, whatever that was called.
I know. It's not terrible.
Fun little trivia. My buddy Bruce from Living Sacrifice actually did the music for Killing Floor 2.
Oh,
whoa.
Funny.
Yeah, really cool.
Good times.
So metal.
He was telling me about it. Yeah. It went, last time I was in Nashville and he was, we got to talking about stuff and talking shop about video game music. And, if I know Bruce, it's punishingly heavy metal.
Yeah, it's metal. It's unrelenting.
Unrelenting metal. Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good times. Are you playing anything else?
Beat God of War.
Oh, nice. Very nice. That's awesome. Spoilers now. No spoilers, Jeremy.
Oh, Adam.
Everybody dies at the end, which is super sad. Every single character. Which is weird because they've announced including, the sequel.
Including the cameraman.
Yeah, the cameraman dies. He literally
the player, the person playing the game dies at the end.
You will have a seizure.
I gotta say, God of War cameraman deserves MVP because
he goes everywhere they go and first.
Yeah. Even every now and then he'll just like speed up and run really fast to get to another spot.
He's good.
Another angle on something. And it's happened quite a few times.
He's a pro. He's a real pro.
He's a pro.
So, Mike, what are you playing?
I'm playing a lot of XCOM 2.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of a tactical shooter, especially one that lets me like obsess about every move and reload my saves 15 times every round. So it takes longer to get the game.
Don't play Iron Man.
Sounds
wonderful. Oh my gosh, it's impossible. I played it on normal and I got so frustrated I moved it to easy. Because that's just how I get down.
Oh wow.
Damn. Well, dude, play the way you like.
Oh, I do.
Are you playing? Are you playing War of the Chosen? Oh, of course, Mike. I would never assume otherwise. Are you torturing yourself yet, Mike?
A little bit.
All right, it wouldn't be to get a platinum, would it?
No, I'm never going to platinum this game. It's impossible.
I think you, in order to platinum XCOM 2, you actually have to play it on Iron Man.
Oh no. Man. Well, that's out. Mike's like, I quit.
Mike, it's
time to revoke Mike's platinum status in his name, Adam.
Oh.
Yep.
Are you playing War of the Chosen?
No, just the standard game, though. I'm really eyeballing that DLC.
Okay, so check this out. I this may sound hyperbolic.
Okay.
We're all going to die. Stop the podcast now. We got to go. No, I'm just kidding. It sounds a little hyperbolic,
I
know.
A little bit.
No.
Yes, and
War of the Chosen makes the game so much better that I would say stop playing what you're playing now
what?
And just immediately go play War of the Chosen.
Really?
Because it makes the game so much better and adds so much to the game that I liked XCOM 2, and then I loved XCOM 2 after War of the Chosen.
Does War of the Chosen affect
everything from day one?
Okay, I see.
Really?
Wow. It balances all the missions.
Oh, okay.
And it also adds tons of stuff to the regular story.
So it was a DLC that's also a patch that you have to pay for?
Oh, good one.
I don't know. I'm kind of into it.
Somebody got burned.
Does it fix that problem where I'm literally standing like a foot away from a guy and have 99% to hit and I still miss anyway?
No, that's a feature, not a bug. That's a feature.
But yeah, that's it for me. It's consumed my entire life at this point.
Wow. That is
awesome.
Wow. Okay. My list is pretty short because I've been at the beach for almost 2 weeks now. Living it up. I am the tannest boy that has ever lived.
My goodness.
Yeah, seriously. And
we're going to have to hold that to the test.
So all I brought was my Switch this time around. And so I've been playing, I bought Celeste, based on Adam's high recommendation, actually. So, I've gotten about, I just beat the hotel. I don't know if that says anything to anyone.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's like the third level, I think.
Yes.
Celeste is beautiful, man.
Yeah, it's so it is. Good. It's really cool.
In the intervening fortnights, since you were last on, I purchased and beat and loved and lost Celeste.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So yeah, I've been playing Celeste. Been playing that Kirby game that came out. I don't even know the name. All Star Hug Fest. I don't know what it's called. But
oh,
Hug Fest.
You hug enemies into being your friend, and then
oh, okay.
So oh, I thought it was like, that's like what Donald Trump did.
Oh boy. Anyway. So it's fun. My nieces and nephews have been coming over to the beach apartment that we're renting and like hopping in and playing Kirby with me. And it's super fun. Just a fun platformer, a lot of mayhem with all the characters on screen. And it's really
so
good.
As a grown adult.
Yes.
Do you actually like that game? I'm not patronizing you because I actually want to know because I was thinking about buying it.
I don't know if I would like it by myself.
It's
fun because it's bonding time with my nieces and nephew. So that, if that makes any sense. I've been playing Kirby, been playing a bit of that Mario Kart 8.
Nice.
And Fortnite. My nephew's 12 and he just got super into Fortnite. And so I'll play on my Switch and he'll connect on his iPhone and we'll play in the same match together and he'll do better than me still.
wow.
It's been really fun. They just released it on the Switch. There's been a lot of controversy about that. I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point.
Yeah, the controversy.
The controversy. Mm. Anyway, that's my video game. And so
sweet. Yeah, I have dived headlong into God of War.
Nice.
Played
ever since the old birthday.
Yeah,
it's about.
I've been
time.
Living life. I put Ni No Kuni 2 to the side because
is that good?
It's really good, but okay. I didn't want to try to straddle that fence. I wanted to just like focus on one because you know, like hopping back and forth. Even though both games I felt were holding their own. I figured there's a spoiler cast upcoming for God of War. I got to beat this thing.
Get it prepared.
Yes, indeed. So I'm loving it. It's
you
so
find
good.
Out that your son is actually Ganon. It's a tie-in.
It turns out to be a Zelda prequel.
It's so nice. Crazy. Yeah. I'm sorry to spoil it.
Sorry, I just had to tell you.
he got overwhelmed with how much he loved that.
Yeah, dude, if it really was, I would definitely be so crazy about that game.
Yeah, I'm really loving the game though. Just like combat wise, I mean the visuals are stunning, of course.
The
combat and the upgrades and everything, that's the progression is really like what's hooked me really hard. So I'm loving it. So
pretty
can't
good
wait
story
to
too. Pretty good story.
Can't wait to play some more.
Nice. You know? I can't wait for you also, to play some more.
Yeah, yeah. So also had some friends over, played some more Jackbox Party Pack. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, it really is. I wanted to get a game of that going while my brother was here and my parents. I just would love to see what that game is like with my immediate family, but it never worked out. So anyway, how did your Jackbox night go?
Oh, it was fantastic. We played some Quiplash 2, some Fibbage 3.
Nice.
Good dude, times. You're speaking like another language right now.
Those are my go-tos for
Oh, Jeremy,
Jackbox.
You've never played... Wait, you've never played Jackbox, man. Jeremy?
Never played. Yeah, actually, really? Funny enough, the other night I was like, oh, I should invite Adam to some Fortnite. And I saw him playing Jackbox. I was like, what is he doing?
Oh, man.
We got to get a game going.
Yeah, yeah, I bet Jeremy would be amazing.
We got to do a stream, an SBFVGS game night, and play some Jackbox Party Pack. Get you in the mix because
would love to.
It is hilarious with funny people. So
yes.
All right. So I think it is about time for the.
No, that's not true. Because Detate has to say.
No, that's seriously. That's what it's called now.
I do want. I do want to hear David say it just like that, though.
Wait, just like that.
Just like that. If you wouldn't mind.
Sure.
Wow, so much has changed since I've been gone.
How's that?
Oh, I like it.
It's good.
So if you're new to the show, that's us saying the word the news.
Yes.
So
nothing you let people know.
Yeah, because it's hard to tell through all that Ronnie James Dio vibrato. So, jumping into some news. And again, you can, of course, hop onto the SBFVGS subreddit. That's reddit.com/r/SBFVGS. You can add some news stories there, whatever you want us to talk about.
Yeah.
Whatever twisted video game news you want to hear about, you put it there and you upvote and stuff like that. And then pretty soon we check it and we do a podcast.
We'll
and
talk about the highest upvoted ones. That's how it works.
Does it have to be twisted?
It doesn't. And preferably it isn't.
A man died today playing video games.
You know, I don't even think this one's on there, but I did want to mention the gaming. What is it? The gaming addiction that's been classified a mental illness.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we all have it, right?
I guess.
Well, everyone's going to have it because they said, like, if you play games for 20 hours a week, like, that qualifies.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
You guys are all sick.
I definitely have it then. Okay.
Don't worry. We'll get you nice and medicated.
Yes.
On more video games.
Medication. What is the medication for playing video games 20 hours a week?
It can't be anything mellow, right? Like, because then you're just going to sit on the couch and play video games. They got to string you out real hard.
Yeah. I don't know. So it's I think it's pretty silly, actually. Yeah. there's a whole write up on Polygon about it. If you have time to check it out, it's interesting because it goes into how it's actually, even though it's the World Health Organization that has, you know, proclaimed this, a lot of doctors are still, you know, saying, I think this is bunk. So,
yeah. Oh, for sure.
And of course, everyone who plays video games, a modest amount probably knows that's bunk too.
Yeah,
but anyway.
at least in the form that it's currently in, I'm sure, you know, like there are people in those, you know, internet cafes where they like refuse to go to the bathroom and like die at their chair playing World of Warcraft or whatever. I'm sure there is some form of addiction that is at play in some people, but 20 hours a week is nothing. That's crazy talk.
Said like a true addict.
Yeah. Get help. I can get stop anytime, man. Guys. I can stop anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I remember hearing a story from my buddy Caleb, and he was telling me that his pal was so into World of Warcraft, he had a cat box near his desk so he could just pee in it.
Oh,
and
my God.
He was like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to poop in it. That's disgusting.
But pee, so that's fine.
At my work, we call it poop socking. When you are so into a game that you play it for like hours and hours, you call poop socking the game.
Oh, I don't want to know what that means. Please do not elaborate.
It means you poop in a sock,
no.
David.
Yeah, David, come on.
Use your imagination.
All right, guys, you guys have a good podcast. I'm out.
So this one comes by way of David J. Tate.
Yeah, that's me.
He sounds pretty cool.
Thank you for the submission, Mr. Tate.
Hey, no problem.
Yeah. So Kotaku reports that Ninja, the famous Fortnite streamer, took a 2-day break and lost 40,000 subscribers.
Oh my God.
Hey, if you 40,000 subscribers, wild. If you 40,000 subscribers are out there looking for a channel to follow, you know, I've got one in mind.
We're gonna swoop in and play this to our advantage.
Yeah, David, I think you actually have to be good at it, though.
Oh, well, I'm terrible at Fortnite, so I don't know.
That's not an insult to David. That's an insult to Ninja for being so good.
Yeah, sure. Ha, you burned him.
I think I think we can all agree that the saddest thing about this turn of events is it means like there's yet another Fortnite news story I trip over every 5 seconds while I'm on Twitter.
Or Michael.
There is one other Fortnite news story we should probably segue into, actually. This one's pretty bad. So as you may know,
twisted even.
Yeah, twisted. This is twisted for sure.
So twisted. It's twisted.
Do we need a new segment on the news area?
Yeah. Oh, and
that's
now
the twisted news.
Oh man, this is like it got very Halloweenish.
I like it. It's very good. So I can't even. All right. I'm back. Fortnite. Okay. Fortnite allows for crossplay. Like if you're on Xbox One, if you're on an Xbox One, you got buddies on mobile. On the Switch, on the PC, playing Fortnite, you can play with all of those people together.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're on PS4, you can play with PC or mobile. And that's it. Those are your options. Apparently, Sony does not want Fortnite to play nice with the other two consoles for some reason.
Or any games, really.
Well, yeah, any games. But, I mean, Fortnite is one of the biggest games in the world, so that's why this is a big story. So what happened is they announced Fortnite for the Switch at the Nintendo E3 conference. It came out, like they said, and all of a sudden, you know, everyone who had ever played Fortnite, even one time, on their PS4, like with that account, could.
Oh yeah, if you had linked your Epic account, your Epic Games account to your PSN ID,
yeah, you could log in on Xbox One or Switch. And this wasn't as big of a deal before because if you play Fortnite on PS4, chances are very low that you're going to try to play it on your Xbox One as well. So this was already a thing. But, you know, there are a lot of people that have PS4 and Switch. So all of a sudden they all found out what Xbox people that had been trying on Xbox One found out. And you cannot even log in. So I had to make a whole new Fortnite account to do this.
Dirty.
Yeah, it is dirty. It's awful. And what's more, there have been statements from Microsoft and Nintendo proving that it's not on their end. And Epic also. Epic is also, they are beholden to Sony. And it's all Sony trying to play their their console dominance to their advantage.
They're doing the old walled garden.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
So as we all do sometimes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are plenty of news stories out there if you want to like figure out how do we know it's Sony and what is their motive. Spoiler alert: their motive is money. So
And why is Shuhei doing this to us?
Shuhei's doing us dirty.
Shuhei. Mm. Mm. How could how do you wake up in the morning, look yourself in the mirror, Shoe?
Anyway,
Shoe.
That's the story.
All right. So, speaking of our favorite video game company, Sony, this one comes by way of Know It Man.
Oh yeah,
there's a new rumor out. And it's based on some happenings.
Now, hang on.
Some
what
unexplained
a new rumor,
happenings.
Should we start calling new rumors noomers?
No. Uh-huh. Yes, yeah. We should.
Adam said no, but Jeremy's doing the correct thing and yes ending.
Yeah.
You know, I can't say
Adam's no budding.
I'm no budding. So downloads could be coming soon to PS Now, according to a rumor that it's been kicked off by some PlayStation Now users actually spotting a download button on some of their games in the service.
Dude, this would be huge.
Yeah, it looks like, I mean, if it is what it seems to be, then it seems like Sony is probably trying to compete on some of the more, you know, consumer-friendly practices that Microsoft has
been doing
for months.
I mean, with Xbox, you can just pop in a disc and play it, but with Sony, you'd have to buy it again. So,
well, you have to pop in the disc, but then you download like an Xbox One patched version.
But still, you don't have to pay anything else, you know.
So, sure. You guys, the future of
this,
gaming is
well.
Streaming.
This is more. This is less. It's less a competitor for backwards compatibility, and more competitor for the Xbox Game Pass.
Oh,
yes, yes, yeah. It's they needed their own Game Pass, but like, what's so crazy is the future is streaming.
Are we sure?
It's just
that?
we're just not there tech wise.
I don't know. I feel like. You know, there are limits to the way our universe and world works, you know? And so, like...
No, there aren't.
You can't speed up...
No, keep going. I want to hear more.
You can't speed up the speed of light, you know? And that's the speed that data
can
travel.
Wrong. I already did it.
Oh, okay. You better call up all of science and tell them because...
yes, could I have all of science, please? Thanks.
Yes, I'd like to speak to science.
You've done what?
Yes, it's me, science. I was in the bath.
So PlayStation Now might start to look a little bit more like Xbox Game Pass. And I think that would be a win for Sony because they would have something feature-wise that people have been asking for.
That would be awesome.
I think Game Pass is saving Xbox. I think it's like saving Microsoft.
It's pretty sweet.
Microsoft will live.
Microsoft
Windows, it's going down the tubes. It's all about Game Pass, baby.
I mean, if Xbox literally went, none of your games are ever going to work again, we hate you. Yep. Microsoft would continue to be fine.
Sure, yeah.
Still sell Windows.
It's interesting. I actually, during E3, half a year of Xbox, what is it called? Game Pass, was on sale for $30 for 6 months. And so,
wow, that's good.
So I just snagged two of those bad boys. So for $60, I have Game Pass for a whole year now. And
that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So
especially because all of their exclusive titles are day one.
Yep,
you can play on Game Pass.
Yep, I'm very excited about that. Yeah. So anyway, I hope PS Now does this because I will never play PS Now as long as it is streaming.
Yeah, well, PS Now, it looks like they're going to continue to stream PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3 games.
Oh.
Because they're not emulating those ones as of right now.
Uh-huh.
But the PS4 games that are on PlayStation Now, that's why I said it's more of a Game Pass competitor, because those are the ones that are most likely to be downloadable.
Right.
So,
fingers crossed.
But, yeah. So, this one comes by way of Divigitate.
Oh, me. That's me.
Oh.
Ubisoft asks artists to submit completed work on spec for Beyond Good and Evil, the sequel.
This is David, interesting.
Enlighten us, please.
Okay, so creating art on spec means you create a final product, and if the person you're creating it for likes it, maybe you'll get paid. So that...
What?
Yeah. So basically, Beyond Good and Evil 2...
That's like how a lot of industries work these days, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible for artists. Beyond Good and Evil the company developing Beyond Good and Evil 2 is partnering with Hit Record, which is Joseph Gordon-Levitt's jam, where you can like
Jogo. We call him Jogo.
Yeah, Jogo
Lev
in the industry. So you submit completed artwork, and then it gets voted on, and then whatever they like, you know, they will pay you for, but only if it makes it into the game, basically. So I mean,
so this is a way for them to fill out their enormous universe with on the backs of slave labor.
Well, that's a little dramatic of a way to put it, but essentially,
it is tough because it's like it's this thing in Hollywood that happens a lot too, where it's like, you would do this for free, right? I mean, you love to write, don't you?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that's exactly right. So I mean, it's cool, but also it sucks. So it's a weird conundrum. It's cool because some, you know, 15-year-old gifted artist out there could design something that makes it into a AAA game that actually looks really cool if you've seen any of that E3 stuff.
It does look cool.
But also,
you know, I think they thought it was their way of engaging with fan art. Because
probably,
fan art sometimes is so cool
that
it's like, why don't we put this in our game?
Yeah, but then there, I mean, so if you look at it that way, it seems like a noble gesture, but it is still asking a lot of people to work for free.
But I think that they're asking for lots of things, right? Like music, I think, is on that list as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah.
And it's something like there's a $50,000 pool that they're going to pay out for.
Oh, wow, that's really small.
That's low.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, no one's going to make bank on this thing unless, like, one dude submits something.
Like, oh, and yeah, one dude all goes, his stuff gets
stand
picked.
Back, everybody.
Like, everyone's like, nah, I'm not doing that. And then, you know, Gary.
Everybody clear out of the way. I designed a whole world.
And a soundtrack.
With that voice, I imagine it's like electric guitar soloing.
It's actually Joe Satriani. It's Joe Satriani.
The whole, he did it. Every song in that game.
Can you imagine if up on an E3 stage, one guy was like, and you know who we got? Joe Satriani.
He's just up there silent.
Oh, man.
Go look up Joe Satriani, kids. You'll think he is.
So, final news item for the night, or for the morning, whenever you're listening to
this.
Developers, afternoon. These developers, this one comes from Ultima Kills, our pal.
Our pals, our chum.
Yeah. Developers say that Twitch is hurting single-player games. This comes by way of IGN.com. And, so it's an interesting point. They did an opinion piece kind of just delving into various conversations with different developers and talking about story-based games and how so many people are just streaming them. You know, I think God of War was cited in there as having 300,000 people watching it at one point just after launch.
So I can speak to this because I was talking to Rob Davis, my friend, who is lead level designer.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah.
And so are we going to dive into some E3 talk right now?
Not yet.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We can transition right into some E3 talk.
We're talking about this single player games thing, though.
Yeah.
No. This totally fits because the thing I was hearing a lot during E3 was everybody's talking about how do we fit into the streamer like ecosystem? Mm. Like even single player games are going, how do we fit into the streamer ecosystem? So Rob says they were like that internally at Santa Monica, they made a big mistake by allowing every difficulty level unlocked right at the beginning.
Oh.
Because what they wanted was streamers to first stream the hard difficulty, unlock the hardest, and go, okay, now we're going into hardest. So it would have created more longevity in the stream.
Oh, I see.
So like even down to little things like that, like people are really thinking about this.
Yeah.
And then one other thing is that one of the things that these companies are seeing is that Twitch streamers aren't exactly translating to
sales. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. I've heard that too. I actually have some friends that don't particularly like scary games. So they will pop into our stream when I'm streaming a game that may be scary. So that they can just watch it.
That new Kirby game, for instance.
No, actually they were talking about The Last of Us 2, which looks pretty intense. It does. That's not necessarily scary, but just very intense and like might like,
sure,
you know, cause anxiety or something.
Sure. So it's no Amnesia, but yeah, I get you.
Yeah, exactly. So I could see, you know, this person can now watch the story and then check out of the really intense anxiety drive, you know, inducing stuff. And there goes a sale right there.
Also, a lot of the, like, actually, that's a great example. That person would never have bought Amnesia. They wouldn't want to play it.
Yep.
But they might Twitch stream it.
Or they'll watch it at least. Yeah. They might not or play it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times people are checking out things on platforms that they don't own, you know?
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Like if I didn't have a PS4 and everyone's talking about God of War, maybe I would check out a Twitch stream to see like, okay, what is this game all about? Does it look like something that would be worth buying PS4 for?
Yeah, I do that, actually. I don't actually look up reviews very often anymore. Now I usually like, okay, has my favorite streamer played this game? Let's see what it's like, you know? Like sometimes I'll watch a review like let's see. What's a good example of a kind? I don't know. Anyway, I can't think of a good example of why I would choose a review over a stream. Maybe story?
Pause the podcast. We're going to let you think about
this. I have it. So really story-driven games like God of War, I probably wouldn't tune into a stream for because I don't want to just like pop into like the middle of the game and, you know, see something that's going to happen. So in that case, I would probably look up a review. But, you know, like Sea of Thieves, I watched streams of that before I played the beta, and Destiny. Actually, Destiny I play. I don't know. Anyway, you know, you see where I'm going with this. I'm not making a great point.
Oh, yeah. I'm right on board. And that's the thing. Like, I think that most of the biggest games on Twitch are big multiplayer games.
Yeah,
sure. You know?
I've noticed that when I stream. So just a little shameless plug for twitch.tv/SBFVGS, which I will be back to streaming on my regular schedule starting the week that you're listening to this. So I'm nice. Back. So
I heard that you lost 40,000 subscribers.
Yeah, because I took 2 weeks off. Yeah. Yeah, you'll go look in the subscriber count now. Like we just lost 40,000. Just, you know,
you're at -39,850 subscribers.
So anyway, I've noticed like when I stream games like God of War or like even Black Mesa, the Half-Life game, like any story-based game, whenever I'm streaming those games, I have the least number of viewers that we ever have. But when I'm streaming Destiny or Sea of Thieves or, you know, any of those multiplayer, experiences that can change that are unpredictable, like those games get way more viewers.
A lot of people go to Twitch for excellence. They go to Twitch for like excellence of
play.
Well,
that's, you know, one group of people that go to Twitch for excellence. Then there's people like me who my favorite Twitch streamer is not very good at games, but he is hilarious. And so,
So there's certainly the entertainer aspect.
Plug away. Oh,
his name is Vinny. He streams under the name Vine Sauce.
Vine Sauce.
Yeah, he's freaking awesome. Cool. He lives in Staten Island. I would love to meet him, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen because that's really close. I live in Brooklyn, which is like, just take a little ferry and there I'm there.
Yeah, it's impossible for you two to ever meet. Yeah. So forget that dream.
Oceans apart.
It's as if it were a tragic love story.
That's true. Yeah.
But yeah, I think for me, I don't know. I can't imagine watching a big story-based game instead of playing it. Like for me, that's my favorite genre though. So I don't know if I was mostly playing multiplayer games and then like this story game comes out and everyone's like, oh, it's so great, but I still wouldn't want to hear, like, it's almost like sitting next to someone who talks through a movie. Like I do not want to experience my stories that way. Like,
yeah,
I want to be able to experience it on my terms, like in my house with my system, you know, loud or headphones.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like I don't want to be watching it on Twitch and have somebody like, oh, that was scary.
Well,
you
know? I don't know.
You know, like, oh, gosh, shut up,
person.
Yeah,
that's funny.
I know I'm watching you stream this, but shut it.
That's because you're old.
Yep.
Yeah,
that is true.
Date.
No, I beg to differ.
Your best years are past.
The old people in the movie theater, they love to talk.
Hey, oh my gosh, well, it's the worst.
I also want to make an argument for the fact that your podcast is named Super Best Friend Sleepover.
Yeah, and we did that all the time when we played video games together, Adam.
Yeah.
I'm sure I was making snide comments when you were playing Silent Hill 2 and being so scared.
Yeah, but that game doesn't make any sense
Adam
anyway.
Adam slipped something into your drink so that you'd be asleep while he played.
No, so there is something different about playing something with friends than watching a stranger.
Well, but a lot
of
people that tune into these streamers think of them or feel like they're their friends. And that might actually be a psychological issue, but it is definitely a thing that happens.
No, Twitch is dead. Nobody's watching it. But everyone go to SBFPGS Twitch.
Get off my lawn.
I want to say one more thing. Right when God of War came out, I was playing the game, and I invited my buddy Travis, a.k.a. Deadwords, to hop into the voice chat with me, and we kind of Mystery Science Theater 3000'd it. And we're making each other laugh a lot. And that I feel like there's something to that. Like having because everyone loves, well, maybe not everyone, but everyone who's watched it at least loves Mystery Science Theater 3000. And, you know, like it's kind of fun to have like some wisecracking dudes, you know, playing a game that maybe you're not interested enough to play, but you still kind of want to see.
I understand that part.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, Mystery Science Theater 3000 is described as watching movies with your funniest friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's
so, but it's unintentionally watching bad movies that you wouldn't
not
care
anymore,
about the story.
It's not. Now they do riff tracks for every movie, and they're really good, too.
It's actually really fun to watch, like, Star Wars with them. Like,
yeah, but, okay, so a movie you've seen 1,000 times. My point is, you don't want to go see Annihilation for the first time.
Oh, that's
and
true,
have,
with Mystery Science going on.
And you're like, shut it! Shut your mouths! So anyway, I digress. But yeah, so why
don't
we
been to my house while I'm drunk watching movies? That's how I watch movies.
That's amazing.
So I don't know. That's just me. I don't think I wouldn't watch single player games in lieu of playing them. But I guess some people probably do, and enough so to where the industry is taking notice and like they were inviting, you know, all these streamers into Ubisoft to get their opinions on things, and we'll get into that a little bit more later, but I did want to say, Jeremiah.
Yes, ma'am.
You attended the E3s.
I did. All of them.
All three of them. And
excellent in entrance endurance. that's actually what it stands for.
No.
So.
Oh, you're right. It's the eulogy establishment experience.
Right. There it is. Now you got it.
So I wanted to give you a chance to bemoan E3.
What? I hated it every second.
What?
I'm just kidding.
No, to just talk about some of the cool stuff you saw, and we'll chime in with some of the stuff that we were jazzed about. We're not going to get into our game of the show. That's topic. That's
right.
Potato time.
Yes.
Okay.
That's potato time.
Okay,
potato
time. So first impressions was I was very surprised by how well-produced it is. I didn't think that going in, because I've been to Comic-Con a few times, and Comic-Con can sometimes feel a little I mean, the panels are awesome to like hear people talking about like upcoming shows and things like that. And some of the booths are cool, but like Comic-Con is a little, you know,
you just kind of wonder. Does a lot of it feel kind of thrown together?
Sometimes with Comic-Con, I went to E3, it's produced, like it's huge and beautiful, and everything is there to draw you in. Like the Resident Evil 2 remake, like thing was crazy, and it was like scary, and like you could walk through it, and there was like actors playing zombies or real zombies. I don't know what.
Maybe
the hell
they were real zombies.
I don't judge. I don't judge.
Yeah, I don't judge you. I mean, LA is full of real zombies.
I've heard stories.
And it was fun. I mean, as a gamer, it's a place to that you go and I felt kind of like at home a little bit, you know, it was cool to just stop and watch people playing like Black Ops on one side of me, and you could see all these big screens set up with like people playing in a competitive match. Look to the right, there's people playing Mega Man 11.
Yeah.
And they had like a big history of Mega Man on this huge wall. And I was like, wow, this is really cool.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Like, I was having a great time. And it's even the little booths are fun because one of the things about it is that everybody there is passionate about video games. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that when you're there. So nobody doesn't, most people don't want to be there. Some people probably are like, my God, when is it 5 o'clock and I can't get out of here? But like you get there's so much passion. And like even at little booths, especially at little booths where there's people with like indie games who are like, please play my game.
Yeah.
And you play it and they're talking to you about it and they're so happy to talk to you about their game, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was a very enlightening experience as a game developer because I'd never been before.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I was just like, wow, like what a strange and beautiful thing that happens for a couple days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's super weird because if you know anything about video games, the celebrities of video games are all around you. Like Corey Balrog was right next to me. Like, and I was like, well, hey, Corey. I mean, I know Rob, so I could say hi to Corey and it not be weird, but it was weird as a fan to be like, wow, Corey's just like, it's cool to
He's just hanging out.
Yeah.
Just hanging out. Right. The only people that don't, like, I was with one of my coworkers, Kevin, and Kevin got shoved out of the way by Shigeru Miyamoto's security.
Oh, no.
He was moving through the crowd, and there's like this dude in glasses and like a suit, and he was like, out of the way.
No, absolutely that happens. I think the second or third time I went to E3, one of my coworkers got slammed against the wall by a security guard for Snoop Dogg. It was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, and you accept it and you're like, wow, that was great.
That was a great experience. Yeah, I felt that way when I went to PSX the first time because I ran into like David Jaffe and, you know, met Greg Miller and like Jonathan Blow and all these people that I was like, you know, a fan of, and I was just like, man, this is nuts. They're just walking around here. No one's talking to them except for me.
Yeah, right. I know. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to say this and judge me if you will.
Oh, I'm ready. Here I go. I'm ready to judge.
The women at E3 are some of the most beautiful, crazy, cute girls I've ever seen in my life.
Oh,
and it's full of them. And I asked Kevin, I was like, why are there so many gorgeous girls here? And he was like, oh, because it's all streamers.
Oh.
And I was like, that can't be true. But then I had to think about it. Because you see some of the like the weirdest looking like video gamer dudes for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you see dudes wearing like a shirt like 8 times too small, and
because
like,
it was the free swag.
Because it was the free the tiny XX t-shirt.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then you see these girls that you're like, whoa, dude, you are the cutest gamer girl I've ever seen in my life. And there's like 10 of you. And it turns out, there's a lot of female streamers.
Yeah.
And very, very attractive ladies. Good for you, ladies.
Well done.
Keep going.
Question so, as long as you're attractive.
I have judged you.
Yeah.
Yes. I have judged you and you are worthy.
I think that's an interesting experience. I remember my very first E3 in the early 2000s. The very first booth I walked up to was this. It was a really small showing for Arc System, which makes fighting games. And I played a fighting game, and I beat a man in a business suit, and he screamed at me for winning. And then he left E3, and it was like the first thing in the morning.
Wow. That's oh my weird. Gosh.
That's amazing. You know what's hilarious is it's funny that you mention all the late the women folk because I just certainly do not recall seeing any women folk at PSX except for like people who were working the event.
So I was like, okay, am I going to see like booth girls? You know, because I'd always heard.
I think they're gone now, right?
I didn't really see that many booth girls.
Yeah, there was a controversy about them. About a decade ago, and I think they're kind of gone now.
Yeah.
A controversy. What are some good games you played, though?
Okay. Well, I mean, like, the funny thing is most of these games I've either seen already, kind of. You know, you don't it's hard to go to E3 and go, holy crap, like, this, where'd this game come from?
It's not that hard to do that, but this year's E3 definitely had that problem, for sure.
Like I played some Soul Calibur, which was awesome. It was really fun.
Nice. Did you play as Geralt?
Yeah, I did play as
Geralt.
That's
awesome.
I knew it. Yeah. I knew you would.
Played some of that. Played some. Guys, I got to tell you this.
Oh yeah.
Here's a little bit of fun.
Okay.
The Destiny Forsaken booth. By the way, E3 is super crowded. Like, it's open to the public, so there's a lot of people there.
Right,
and it smells really good.
It's weirdly enough smelt very decent because of all the beautiful women wearing very nice product. Actually, it didn't feel like gross. It felt like very professional and like I was in an airport. So I go to the Sony area and they have a huge Destiny Forsaken area where you can go play some Destiny Forsaken.
Right.
Empty.
Of course.
Everything else is being played except for Destiny Forsaken.
Of course.
Completely empty.
I mean, you can already go play Destiny on your PS4. Why would you go to E3 to play Destiny?
I also think people are just tired of Destiny. I think people are like, it's over.
Testify.
Some people are tired of Destiny, but the Destiny boys that I play with, they are definitely not tired of Destiny. Good old Joe King.
Well, okay,
good
old
Ultima. Good old Deadwords.
David, I want to refute your hypothesis because I walked by the Final Fantasy 14 booth.
What?
Which is an MMO.
Yeah, I played it last year.
And there's a line going around the whole thing to go play like a boss.
What's wrong with them?
That is crazy.
But why does Destiny have nobody? Because I think everybody's like, Destiny.
I would have been in that booth all day. So,
well, you could have been because they would have never kicked you out.
I would have just gone to E3 to play that booth. That's it.
Oh, well, very, very sweet of you. Smash Brothers was awesome. You had to sign up. And you had to either sign up to play casual or competitive.
Right.
Because they didn't want people to feel bad.
Yeah, so Sophie Brennan from Insomniac actually tweeted about accidentally signing up for the competitive.
Yeah, I saw that. So right now in my office, Kevin, who I was with, Kevin Chang, he won. And he has a medal hanging.
Seriously?
Oh, my gosh.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that he's is a badass. Sweet. He was playing Marth. So,
I don't know who that is.
Marth is one of the
top tier characters.
He's what are they called? There's a new one coming out.
Fire Emblem guys. He's one of the
Fire Emblem. That's the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to Google it.
Yeah.
Don't.
There's one coming out soon on the Switch.
Oh yeah, Marth.
Yeah.
You said Marth. It's Marth.
Oh, good old Marth.
That's Marth.
It's Marth.
I love Forget me some Marth. I hate Marth.
Oh, you guys want a little cyberpunk? Cyberpunk insider?
Yeah.
Insider trading?
Yeah. Cyberpunk
sell.
Time.
Sell. Just kidding.
It's bad?
It.
Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh.
No, okay, so I don't know if you guys read this, but these articles came out describing the demo.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I read every single one of them.
I read every one that I could find.
And they were gushing.
Oh, yeah.
I charted it on my vision board.
Right. They were gushing. And they were gushing in a way that I could only think games journalism gushes, because it was like, never have I seen a game that has made my soul exit my body and go into another realm.
That sounds like a polygon preview.
Yeah, that was definitely a polygon. Yes. And I was like, okay, whatever. And then I talked to, I can't even say who played it. I talked to somebody who played it because they signed an NDA.
Oh, okay.
You're not supposed to tell about, you're not supposed to talk about it.
Oh my gosh.
They said, the hype is real. I don't even understand how they created this tech.
Wow.
Like, I know some of it, but I can't even talk about the tech they're using because it's so proprietary and like their own.
Wow.
Wow.
And like, you are going to be blown away.
So well, did this person say that this is a next gen game? Probably.
No, it's not. It's running on current hardware.
Because it's running, it was running on PC from what
I read. It's running on PC. Right. Right.
Yeah.
You're right.
But is the PC so amazeballs that it will be like PS5 and Xbox 2?
Well, so. No, because Digital Foundry did a tour.
Digital Foundry did a like a technical analysis of the footage that they showed in the trailers, yeah. Which was all supposedly in-game footage. Or in engine or whatever. I don't know exactly what the terminology was that they used, but they concluded that this in theory could be running on an Xbox Scorpio.
Yeah.
Or an Xbox One X, as Jason, it's really called. Which is
Jason
stupid.
Schreier over at Kotaku wrote like a really good article where he definitely said his impression of that demo is this is absolutely like a PS4 Xbox One game.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it's nuts. So here's the thing. I would love to make that I don't want to go into any spoilers, but hang on. Why didn't they show us any of this if it's so amazing? That's what I want to know.
It's too early. It's too early.
It's too early. Because I think it's going to be 2020 that it's actually
going to be. Yeah, that sounds fair.
Yeah, and here's the crazy part. That Cyberpunk, they showed a Cyberpunk trailer.
Yeah.
CD Projekt Red. And then they showed this behind closed doors demo. Didn't show us regular folk.
Commoners.
Everyone was raving so much that it was winning like Game of the Show awards and stuff, and nobody even saw it except for the press.
Yeah,
that,
it's nuts.
Apparently,
so they're
saying
they're going to show it at what's the next big event?
Is it Gamescom?
Gamescom.
Yeah, Gamescom. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, apparently, they didn't even need to show it though. You know,
yeah, like, that's weird. Seriously. Yeah. Man.
Yeah, but
I should have gone.
Yeah, speaking of proprietary tech, though, can we talk a little bit about that The Last of Us 2 demo that they did during the Sony presser?
Mm-hmm. Holy Stromboli.
Holy Stromboli. I know I should have been...
Chester Stromboli.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, of course.
Attorney at law.
Right. Yes.
Call me Chester. My father's Mr. Stromboli.
But which one of them is holy?
They are both holy Stromboli. Get it? You get it?
With like a W.
With a W and an H, yeah. And an O and an L and an L and a Y.
Holy.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Go for it.
So I know.
No. This podcast is a Stromboli podcast now.
We're not getting into topic territory, are we?
No, we're not. This is not. I'm not picking a game of the show here. I'm just talking about how amazing. So I know I was supposed to be blown away by maybe the story or the character models or how good the graphics are. But actually... Uh-huh. What impressed me the most about that demo was the animation.
Like, really good, right?
It's insane.
Like during combat, there's animation that looks like it could be a cutscene. Like NPCs do stuff that looks like scripted stuff.
But go back to Last of Us Part One, and there are moments when you're playing the game that it feels that way.
But not nowhere near on this level. Like Ellie. When she's walking like past a bookshelf, she like her hand like grabs onto like the edge really quick and she pulls herself forward and like, you know, she picks up a bottle and throws it immediately and the animation is just completely smooth. Like I don't know what their animators are doing over there, but they're wizards.
Have you guys ever gone back and watched the old E3 demo of Last of Us? That's kind of preternaturally smooth in a way that the game isn't even smooth.
Really?
Yeah, go back and watch it and you'll see, you'll be like, you know, a lot of it's there, like a vast majority of it's there, which is amazing because it's such an amazing demo.
Mm-hmm.
Like the vast majority of it's there, but there are these things that are definitely not there where you're like, oh, that's a little bit of a lie, like that they're playing with.
Well, I hope that's not the case with this demo.
Me too. I mean, they're definitely hyping up the fact that they pushed really, really hard to make the animations like very, very context sensual.
Yeah.
Let's call it context sensual.
Naughty Dog's first rated M for mature, not for violence.
Not for sensuality.
Yeah, but I mean, all the stuff you're talking about, like with Ellie putting her hand on the bookshelf and stuff, Nathan Drake does that kind of stuff in Uncharted 4.
But
you know, like,
he does it sumptuously. It's not this amazing. That's all I'm saying.
It's not this sensual.
It's not this sensual, dude.
So, actually, we do need to talk a little bit about some E3 predictions and how they went.
Oh, that's true.
So, Mike, please, take it away.
Yeah, so we made a bunch of E3 predictions, and by a bunch, I mean three each. We made them pretty far ahead of E3, although the episode aired really close to E3, so everyone got to hear just how wrong we were, which is my favorite part.
Were you guys really wrong?
Well, we were, but I think the important thing is to find out who was the least wrong.
Oh, and I guarantee you, just by how important this is to Mike, I guarantee you he was the least wrong.
Well, hold on. We'll see.
When anybody says the most important thing is who was the least wrong, you know that they were.
Yeah, exactly.
It's certainly possible. Okay, so let's just jump right in these predictions.
Yes.
So I had predicted right up front, first prediction of the day. I had said that there'll be a new Cyberpunk trailer with no release date and be shown at the Microsoft conference.
Yeah.
And I was right on all 3 points.
You sure were.
You were correct.
I was.
But that still only counts for one. On the back. Michael gets a pat on the back.
I sure do.
Yeah. But Mike, that still only counts for one, though. Sorry.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, it does.
It depends. It depends how you guys score.
I score the right way.
100 points for David.
100 points for Chris.
Off the bat.
Yeah, is it like Harry Potter Quidditch?
Yeah, that's
it,
yeah.
Can I do that
Dumbledore
subtract.
Thing where regardless of how many points I'm losing by, I can suddenly award my favorite house as many points as I feel
what
necessary.
What a cop-out.
Yeah.
What a cop-out.
Mike, I'm going to subtract 25 points from Mike Lopez for that comment.
Oh, I got a bone to pick with old Dumbledore.
You're losing all the games.
That's
you
fine. I'm just going to award myself all the points at the end. Adam's first prediction was we're finally going to get a release date for The Last Knight at the Microsoft conference, and it's going to be holiday 2018.
No.
And it didn't wrong happen. On all points.
Tim.
Wait, which game?
The Last Knight.
What is The Last Knight?
That's the
Jeremy. No, Jeremy.
It's so good.
I'm just kidding. I know what that is.
Okay. Because I'm like, you of all people would
love
The Last
Knight. I don't know what it is, Adam.
Night.
Tell me.
You will love The Last Knight more than most.
Wow.
It's
okay.
A pixel art. It's a 2.5D pixel art game. Indie.
Oh, it's the Cyberpunk one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's made after the stylings of Flashback and
it's
Another World.
It's pretty crazy that was last E3 and we haven't heard a single thing.
Well, you're not following Tim Saray on Twitter. We've had him on our show. And you should have listened and learned all kinds of new things about it, my friend.
I mean, I listened to every episode, so I couldn't have missed it.
Yeah, so go back and listen to the Tim Saray episode of the show if you want to learn more about The Last Knight, because it looks unbelievable.
It really does look really good.
Okay. So, but yeah, Adam was wrong about that one, unfortunately.
He really was on all points. It's very sad. Yeah. David's first prediction was we're going to see a new trailer with more footage of Metroid Prime 4, but the game's delayed to 2019.
The game is delayed till 2019, and I was right about the second one. If you're going to use Mike's crazy scoring,
I'm going to say.
Well, did they say for sure it's delayed till 2019?
But it's not coming out in 2018, so it must be 2019.
Okay,
David's logic,
because that's the only year after 2018.
That's correct.
So I'm feeling pretty good about where I'm at.
Yeah, I think that's a zero, Mike.
No, I think that's a zero.
No, that's
one.
It
sounds like a zero to me.
Okay, well, Mike only has one then. Cool.
Well, yes. my next prediction didn't go so great. I had expected to see a new Anthem story trailer at the EA conference and a spring release date.
Mm.
Well, it's February release date. So that's not really quite spring.
That's
still winter. That's winter.
Still winter.
All right.
Tell New Yorker that February is spring and they will spit in your face.
Yeah, in Southern California, it's about spring.
Me and Adam grew up in Southern California, so who knows when winter is?
We don't know. It doesn't come here. And I don't, did we get, we didn't really get a story trailer. We got kind of more of a gameplay thingamajig and an interview with the developers, which was cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I need to play that game, I guess. Everyone was talking about how the controls felt great. To me, well, it just looked like another Frostbite BioWare like Frostbite Engine BioWare game, which where the controls aren't super great, but they work. You know, like like to me, it looked just like Mass Effect Andromeda controls. I don't know. It's hard to say when you don't get your hands on it, though. So
yeah,
right.
My favorite.
Yeah, the
thing
Game
about
Informer
those...
folks were saying that it controls like a top notch. Top of class, you know, shooter. So yeah. That would be a first for BioWare. Yeah.
I mean, so that would be that would be a Destiny killer in the end.
Hopefully,
yeah, could be
in theory.
My favorite thing about this is the second E3 they've done a trailer where like they're flying and like, man, check out this super cool towering beast. Like that would be an awesome boss fight. Let's not do that.
Let's skip that.
Yeah, they did. Do that.
No one's interested in that.
I mean, you know why? Because they were like, "Oh God, it's so buggy, and we don't have it
for sure.
And we have to, there's no way we can show this."
Yeah. So I don't know if that's worth any points.
This is the monster that breaks the game in front of the audience.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way we can. Yeah.
I give myself a half point.
No, Mike. There are no points in that prediction.
Well,
you're wrong.
Maybe. Wait, what was the half point awarded for?
I don't know.
None of
it. I wanted it.
There was no.
Adam's second prediction was that Rocksteady's new DC Universe game gets unveiled.
Yeah, and we saw it. Nope.
Yeah, we sure didn't.
Nope.
No, we did
very
not.
Very bummed.
Bummer.
So
see,
sad.
I was under the impression Rocksteady was working on the next Batman game.
What?
Well,
another Batman
they've been saying, game? They've been saying they're done with Batman. But they
can't be if they're working on a DC Universe game.
They could be full of lies.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could be.
Yeah.
Bunch of liars over at Rocksteady.
Because, I mean, honestly, if it's not an Arkham game, but it's a Batman game, you know, whatever, I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm with you. David's second prediction was that Bethesda will announce the next Elder Scrolls game.
And I want to point out, you guys all thought I was crazy for this prediction.
To be fair, they didn't tell us anything we didn't know, which is that they're going to make another one eventually.
That has
After they make two more games first.
Michael, did you not see the trailer? There was clearly terrain.
Yeah,
there
was like some hills.
Water.
Yep.
There was
a really sweet logo.
There's a little asterisk in the bottom that says this is definitely all in-game.
Yep.
We've made it this far.
Yeah, that was all in-game. That was all in-engine. And we now know lore-wise that it's set on a planet that has, all the elements.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, no, I think, you know, he definitely gets a point for it. They did announce it. But
they did. Yeah, he gets
I
the
got
point.
The point.
They did announce, you know, and revealed Fallout 76, which is the next game, and then also another brand new IP that they're going to make first.
Yep.
So,
but
there's this is a PS5, Xbox 2 game.
I probably deserve two extra points for this because both of you thought I was crazy to make this prediction.
Okay, you know what? I'll give you two extra points.
Yeah, cool.
I'll allow it.
Yeah,
cool.
We'll make it for it later, though.
I won't allow it.
Oh
no, I'm with you. He can have it.
Okay, cool.
But don't worry, good news is coming.
He still wins. That's why he's allowing it.
Yeah, my last prediction, which was also very sad, that the Marvel Avengers game from Crystal Dynamics was going to be revealed. He's a trailer, all that fun stuff, but not happen. That was quite sad.
Nothing.
Adam's prediction, his last one, was that Spider-Man would win Game of the Show.
And it did.
Yeah, I guess depending on which news outlet you follow, that's true.
And it my Game of the Show.
There,
sure.
Well, hey, spoilers.
Well, there
wait
you go,
a
right
second.
There.
Come
you
on.
Can't.
You spoiled the episode that I'm currently recording, Adam. How dare you?
Well, I can edit that out.
No
one will ever know. No one will ever know.
Now,
the rubes, the poor
kingdom
rubes listening to this, they'll never know.
That'll give Adam his first point, I guess.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I win.
Now, here's...
Kingdom Come, colon, deliverance. If you say it like that, it's fine.
What does the colon need delivering from? That's what I need to know.
That's a good question.
Chipotle.
Good question. That's what you find out in the game.
The coming of the kingdom is a threat to the colon.
Yeah, when that kingdom shows up, that colon's done for.
Now, David's very last prediction here.
It did not seem that crazy. I just want to point out.
He listed as your own words were, this is a crazy prediction.
Yes.
He said, Gearbox has gone on record saying there'll be no Borderlands 3 at E3. I say it's all ruse, and we will, in fact, see our first glimpse of Borderlands 3 this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe during the Microsoft press conference.
Yeah.
He even went as far as to call good friend of the show, Joe King, a liar.
Wow.
And a charlatan.
I did.
Oh, I think you get docked 2 points for calling Joe a liar.
Absolutely. Wow. For Joe's honor, we have to remove 2 points at least.
Oh, those are the rules. We're just enforcing them. Mm-hmm. You know?
And you were like, Joe King is a liar and is going to hell.
He's a liar. He's, I believe, right? I called him a liar, gosh, and a thief, I think.
Yeah. He said he's a thief of my trust. That's what he said.
Also, I told Joe King if there was no Borderlands 3 announced at E3, he would be kicked off of our Discord server.
Oh my gosh! So I'm sorry,
wow.
Joe.
I haven't pulled the trigger on that one yet, but.
And that's all the predictions, and I forgot where the tally was at. So
I think I won.
Michael won.
David won.
Okay. Well, we have an outside observer that says I won, and I'm pretty happy to leave it there.
All right, so whatever. The humanoid must not escape.
All right, are you ready for the most fascinating tweets you've ever heard in your life?
I really am. All two of
They're
them.
They're really good.
Give it to me.
Just more than two.
You go. You go, Mike.
Okay.
Take it away.
Casey wrote in and said, do you have any opinions about popular streamers being seen as the voice of players by game developers and their feedback driving game development? We kind of talked about it during the news, right?
We talked about our personal opinions.
Well, we touched on it just a tiny bit, but I did want to say about this one that at first I was like, yeah, these guys don't speak for me. I'm a rebel. And I flipped my leather jacket collar up.
It's a brown leather jacket from Land's End, right?
Yeah. So, but then I started thinking, you know, streamers are just regular people. They're just regular video game players like you and I.
I need to elaborate on this, but go ahead. Continue your point.
And so, I mean, the reason they have an audience in a lot of cases is because people tend to agree with what they say or what games they choose to play, which does kind of make them a representative in certain ways of the general market, especially if they have a really big audience and they're not especially funny. You know, yeah, maybe I'm watching so-and-so to yuck it up a bit, you know. But, you know, if I'm just watching because I like the games this guy plays and he's good at games and he knows a lot about games or whatever it is, you know, then maybe it is a worthwhile place to start, you know.
Yeah.
See, that's where you're wrong, Adam, because they're anointed. They're fated to be famous. It has nothing to do with their content.
Well, I want to take what you said, Adam, and I want to add a wrinkle to what you've said really quick. They are like us in most regards, except they're just like us in most ways, except for one, Adam.
Almost human.
The way that they are not like us is they have infinite time to play video games. And that affects games, for example, like Destiny, where, you know, you have a level up grind, you know, like it takes a while to go to get to max level and do high end content. And these streamers who have been invited to Bungie's headquarters get to the level cap much faster than, you know, someone like me can. Like, I'm still not at the level cap. All these guys have been at the level cap for like months now.
That's how you get good. Well,
no. Sounds to me just, like they might have gaming insanity.
Maybe they could.
Gaming hysteria.
The doctors are calling it gaming insanity.
So these guys have been invited to Bungie's headquarters to talk about how to improve the game. And a lot of their comments are like, oh man, it's just too easy to get to the end game stuff. It happens too fast. I get there too fast. Meanwhile, I'm still sitting over here trying to get to the current level cap that's, you know, been established for what, how many months now? I don't know. 2 months? I don't know exactly, but
whatever. Last DLC?
Since whenever that was, I don't remember, but, the grind is just going to keep getting more impossible for me so that it can appease these people that have the ear of Bungie. You know what I mean? So
interesting.
So there's a little bit of a detriment to it. In some ways, it's good.
So you're saying you're kind of being left behind.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of. Just like that Kirk Cameron movie.
Well, I mean, so I guess counterpoint there,
Oscar
though.
Winning.
Like, you have games media folks, right? They get paid to play and write about games. And they play, like, every game out there. They play games all, you know, frequently for hours at work because they're reviewing it and stuff. So that's not really an accurate picture of how normal people play games.
As
you know,
an addendum to that, they get all of them for free.
They get all of them for free, yeah. And a lot of streamers get games for free, too. So it takes the payment part out and the time constraint part out. So really, we already were dealing with that as far as for media types. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just games enthusiasts who get paid to write about the games that they get paid to play.
Right.
So, yep. So there's already a disconnect between the common man, right? And the reviewer. But for some reason, because a streamer is just playing it in front of people, I don't know why, but I seem to think of them as more as like normal people than I do like games media people who know all the ins and outs and talk to all the developers all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because media types are going to cool guy parties and drinking cool guy drinks.
I mean, streamers are playing games with Drake, so they're also getting invited to cool guy parties too.
Well, that's not Drake's fault. He just wandered into somebody's house.
Yeah, fair enough.
So there's our opinions, I would say, right?
Yeah, I think Twitch is a fad, like
do you really, Michael?
Yeah, like it's definitely, I think, on the downward trend.
Nobody's doing it anymore.
Devil sticks and Jenko jeans.
Wow, I'm still wearing devil sticks and Jenko jeans.
You're wearing devil sticks?
Yeah, I wear devil sticks.
Strapped them to my back like a samurai.
Well, hold on. Are you saying that Twitch is losing viewers?
Actually, you know, it did used to be the number one most trafficked website in the world. And now it's like way down on the list, to be honest.
I think I'm saying I'm just really old and I don't understand it.
Well, I think it's a stepping stone, because I think that like I want to go back to this idea that you guys started a podcast called Super Best Friends Sleepover.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover.
Sing song.
There you go.
That's the name of the show.
And like, that's about like, Detate, you did it with Adam. I stayed up with all my friends. I stayed up with Adam. Mm-hmm. Played video games. Like,
that was Twitch back like in the 90s.
That was Twitch back then. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like that's not going away. And I think like we're trying to find a way to get back to that place that people felt so good. Like sharing games together.
Yeah. Sure.
And Twitch isn't exactly it. That's not the solution.
I think that's one take, right? I think the other is maybe just Adam was that magnetic force. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but Adam will die one day.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're right. It's all over with.
I mean, he just had a birthday. I'm fairly sure he's on the downward trend.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Adam used to be the most trafficked internet.
Oh my gosh.
All right,
Mike, next question, please.
Anthony wrote in and said, now that we have a new trailer, rate your level of confusion regarding Death Stranding.
Oh, wow.
And then he attached a little plural for more confused, same confused, less confused, or Mike talking about New York pizza.
Oh.
I think I'm going to have to say Mike talking about
definitely
New York
Mike
pizza.
Talking about New York pizza confused.
My favorite thing about New York pizza is I can get it anywhere.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Good one, Mike. You really put it to those New Yorkers. Yep.
Yeah, you know, there's a place actually down near our old neck of the woods, Jeremy, in Oceanside or Vista or Carlsbad, something like that.
Oh, that had pretty great New York pizza.
That was called New York Giant Pizza. Do you remember this place?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know New York Giant Pizza.
Authentico.
Yeah, Authentico.
Guys, just go on. It's better if you go on continuing believing that and just never come to New York and try real pizza. Never do it. Otherwise, other pizza will be real.
I've had New York pizza. I ate at the Sbarro in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I had the Domino's in Brooklyn.
The great breadsticks.
Oh, dear.
I had the chicken wings there and Chez Magnifique.
Wow.
Actually, you know what you guys are forgetting is how good the bagels are in New York.
No, they are very good.
Do they have Thomas bagels in New York?
That's right, Thomas the Tank Engine bagels.
Bangles. Oh, no, I can't, because I'll have nightmares forever.
Bangles.
Bangles.
They're much more dangerous. After watching that Death Stranding trailer, I felt same confused. Like I was,
you were already confused.
I was already confused, and I was like, "Yeah, that didn't illuminate anything for me." Like I still kind of, sort of, halfway know nothing about it.
Okay, guys, but can I say one thing? I like, you know how there's all those images of the dude, like his backpack's like wobbling as he's walking. Mm-hmm. Okay, check this out. That's one of the game mechanics, is that you have to stack your packages just right, because your character controls weird if you stack it wrong.
Hideo Kojima, what are you doing,
he's
buddy?
A genius.
I know.
He's a genius.
I watched that trailer and I was like, heavy backpack simulator?
Yeah. And then you were like, I'll take it.
Whatever he wants to make, that's what I want to play.
So what?
Because I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be good.
I don't know what it is, though. Like, is it just like The Martian, except Matt Damon walks funny because his backpack is so heavy?
Yeah, that's it. You got it.
He nailed it.
So you know what the thing I always find weird about Hideo is that, like, he's got this weird body horror thing.
Yeah.
He likes to show the girl eating the grub, and you're like, why are you doing this to
us? Yeah.
Yeah. He's gross.
He's very gross.
He's gross.
I think that wraps up that question.
Okay. Hideo Kojima is gross. Writing it down.
Did you write it down?
I wrote it down. It's on my notes.
Good, 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 good.
Yeah, write that in pencil. Apple pencil.
Yes.
Ashley wrote in and said, this has probably been asked in the past, but did you guys ever have a crush on a video game character? I had a big old crush on Ryudo from Grandia 2. That is a great game, by the way. Not just for his looks. He was a sassy jerk. I like that.
Well, I thought this was you talking, Michael.
It's all me talking.
That's cool.
Yeah, he was a sassy jerk. It's all me talking. I liked his blue hair and his weird belt he had everywhere.
Oh. So you had a crush on Ryudo?
I don't know who that is.
Oh,
I haven't played Grandia 2 since I was like 15.
You're in a safe space. I don't know about you, Adam, but I've had like 1,000 crushes on 1,000 different video game ladies.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked about this one on the show before, but man, when I was 16 years old and I played the original Tomb Raider, I fell in love with Lara Croft.
Of course.
And man, she was it for me. She was my one and only for a long time.
I was a polyamorous video game player. I liked the female ninja in Tenchu. I was like, you're my lady.
You're my lady, you and you. Man, O'Neil in the Ninja Turtles arcade game.
Of course.
Oh my gosh.
Of course, I've had crushes on. Also, like in any of the Final Fantasies, you kind of grow to love the female characters in them. Like Yuna in Final Fantasy X, like, come on.
Yeah.
Tell me you don't have a crush on her after Tidus kisses her.
I don't.
Yeah.
That's Tidus's woman. Do we have a Jesse's girl situation going on right here?
Jeremy? I am Tidus's girl.
I'm thinking about, what's another one?
You're thinking about my doorbell, when you're going to ring it?
Yeah.
I can say that I was very much in love with the Goof Troop mom.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Pete didn't deserve her. He was an abusive husband.
He didn't deserve her. Not at all. Oh, you know who, I had a thing for?
Hmm.
Elena from Uncharted.
Oh, that's a good pick. She's so real.
Yeah, she's so real. She's great.
And isn't it crazy that in Uncharted 4, when they're actually having like a marital dispute in the Jeep, mm-hmm. I was feeling that.
Yeah, I was like, big time.
I was like, oh man, this feels like the fights I have with my wife. You know, like somebody who's married wrote that scene.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Because it's that moment where like when you're with somebody for a long time and you say something or do something where they're like, can I even trust you anymore? Yes. Yes and no. I'm a human, but also maybe not.
Oh, man. David, what about you?
Oh, my video game crush is Samus. Of course it's Samus Aran.
Oh, okay. All
right. Oh, Adam, he's right. Yeah. Because I like tried to beat Metroid like 8 times within 2 hours just to see the bikini.
Oh my gosh.
The little pixelated.
And when I finally
Samus.
Did, both rewarding and disappointing.
Yeah. Didn't look that. I mean, it was like how about like 16 by 16 pixels, so you're not getting a lot of detail.
Yeah, it was like it was more the idea of it. I was like, there she is, my intimate friend. My intimate adventurer.
You loved her so
no,
much.
No, but Samus is bae though, and I mean anyone who disputes that is a coward and a liar, so
okay.
I may have to split this episode into a two-part.
Oh, yeah, seriously. Let's
to be continued.
Let's do this. We've got our last question from Soak7, which is going to lead really nicely into the topic time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he wrote in, did anyone actually win E3? I thought it was weak as a whole.
Oh, you're in luck, Soak7, because we're about to tell you who won E3.
Right after this word from our sponsor.
Amazing.
I love
it. Okay, you're not supposed to laugh. You're supposed to just
have
do
you
the
drink
thing.
4 hour energy. I certainly have.
So, Gamefly, you guys.
You know, is that where we are?
Yeah, this word from our sponsor. So, you guys, let me ask you. I'm going to ask you a serious question. And this is not just you friends here on the show, but the audience
as
well.
Okay, sure.
Are you
David,
tired?
You're not the audience.
Yes, yes. Are you tired of buying $60 games every day and not being able to afford grandma's back pills? Well, Gamefly has got you covered. With Gamefly, you can rent over 9,000 games and movies with no late fees and no commitments. Mm. You're free to cancel.
What an indictment of the American health system.
You're free to cancel anytime. See, that's why you need Gamefly. And here's how confident they are that you're going to love the service. You can sign up today. Enjoy a whole month on the house.
Wow.
That's free. With ladies and germs.
With all the money I save, I can finally.
And after that, you just pay a monthly pittance to keep up that subscription and play all the Vidya games that you want. Even, you know, I dare say into game. What is it? Game insanity?
Yes, gaming insanity.
Gaming insanity or game mania.
Game mania.
If you know. So anyway, get some Gamefly at gameflyoffer.com/SBFVGS. You get a free month. You support our show at the same time. It's great. Everybody wins.
Remember, you get to keep the game as long as you want, and you also get to buy it if you love it.
Yeah.
They'll just let you keep it.
It's fantastic.
Well, at a discount, right?
It's at a
not
discount.
Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll charge you like $100 for it. It's
they'll charge you 10 times the amount of the game.
Well, with all the money you save, you can finally afford what grandma's charging for those back pills.
Yeah. You can finally afford the assassin to kill grandma because you can't afford her.
So once again, that's gameflyoffer.com/SBFPGS to kick off your sweet, sweet Gamefly subscription with a month of free rentals.
There was madness in any direction.
Here we are. We're pretty deep in this episode.
Yeah, we are.
It is topic time. It is potato time,
now,
as some might say.
There's been a lot of preamble leading up to this, so I suspect that this topic's going to be kind of short, because we're just basically right. listing what our favorite game of E3 is.
Although, I have to say, we need to touch on the conferences, too, real quick.
Okay. Well, let's do that first.
Yeah, I mean, well, that was the last Twitter question we got, right?
Oh, like, what was the best conference?
Yeah, like who won E3? So because that was our last
question. The answer to this
there.
Is really easy, because Ubisoft opened with Just Dance 2019. You can't top it. You can't do better.
Nailed it.
Nice. There it is.
You know, Ubisoft is pulling itself out of the trash can in a way that Grover never could.
Is Grover in the trash can?
I didn't know.
He's hanging out with Oscar the Grouch.
Oh, yeah, Grover. It was, I'm thinking of Oscar. You know, Grover and Oscar had a weird relationship.
Grover got on real hard times.
Do tell. And he was Oscar's roommate in season 85.
So, I like a year ago, I would have been like, Ubisoft is a trash company that they're going to die and good riddance. After the Division updates and seeing Division 2 and seeing how well they're doing with the Assassin's Creeds, like, I'm pretty on board with them.
I wish they would do more of the UbiArt games, you know, like Rayman and like Valiant Hearts.
Child of Light.
I absolutely love those. And right now, Ori is owning that space and Ubi is just quiet.
Yeah, that is true. That's very weird.
You know, Ubi still takes chances with some experimental games. I know they had a couple, I honestly can't remember, but I know I saw a couple games where I was like, huh, that's Ubi?
Was it, I'm thinking of Yarny and his pal.
Unravel. Unravel.
Is that EA?
Unravel is
EA.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so anyway, are you going with Ubisoft then, Jeremy? For who won E3?
Yeah, it sure sounds like he is.
I'm gonna say yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Division 2. Did Division 2 get you
Because I think Division 2 was so badass.
Oh.
And like, and also I honestly think Origins looks really good and Rainbow Six is tearing it up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, yeah.
Wow.
I think they did a really good job.
Huh. All right. Well, that's awesome.
Pretty cool.
I don't really like their crazy scripted multiplayer voice chat, so
I thought it was pretty funny.
I kind of like it because it's like, it's the fantasy. It's like it's everything you want.
You wish your friends would play this way.
Yes.
Yeah, somebody went, hey Jeremy, hand me a clip, and you're like, oh yeah, of course, friends. But instead it's like you can hear music in the background. It's like, shut up.
one of their kids starts crying.
Mom in the background screaming to come down for dinner.
Yeah. Mom, I'll do my laundry later.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay. So Jeremy goes with Ubisoft winning E3.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I think Microsoft, even though, and I wanted this to happen too, even though they didn't show a whole lot of gameplay, there's a lot of like trailers and they're like, yeah, but what is it? Kind of trailers where like you see this really cool game, but you don't know what it is. But just the fact that they announced that they bought a whole bunch of like basically second party developers to make games for them, which is what they have needed forever now.
So they bought those five studios. Now those are all part of the first party.
Oh, first party. Never mind. Not second party.
They bought Ninja Theory and stuff. Yeah. It's crazy.
So that's now officially first party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So that was amazing. They showed a new Gears of War game, which actually looks pretty cool. It seems like a whole new tone for the series, which, you know, it's exciting. It kind of needed a refresh, I feel like. So
yeah, I thought the Gears 5 trailer looked great. Yeah. I've never really been a fan of Gears, so
yeah,
I thought that was cool.
And like this, okay, so tracking back really quick, the Sony conference was good and showed a lot of really good games, but there's only one of those games that we haven't really seen before, which was Ghost. So like there were no surprises at all.
Wait, the Control? We haven't seen Control.
Oh, man, yeah. Remedy's Control game?
Remedy's
awesome.
New game looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks okay. Yeah. I watched some gameplay of it. I wouldn't say it would, like, sway me toward making it Sony's.
I mean, are you not an Alan Wake fan?
Not really.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Are you or are you not an Alan Wake fan?
Since I've not played more than 10 minutes of an Alan Wake game, I will say no.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, I was watching this. Remember, that was one of the things we talked about, like, oh, that'd be so cool if Remedy showed off their new IP at the Microsoft conference. Yeah. And nope, it wasn't so there. And then all of a sudden we see something that I was like, man, this kind of looks like Quantum Break, like just some of the mechanics and the physics and stuff.
Same actress.
And I was oh my gosh, it's Remedy's new game and it's at the PlayStation show. That's nuts, because it's multi-platform now. It's 505 Games publishing.
Okay,
so
there was one surprise at the Sony conference, whereas Microsoft had like a billion surprises.
And we hadn't seen Last of Us 2 gameplay yet.
Yeah, but it just wasn't,
but it wasn't
a surprise. It just
it wasn't a surprise.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like you win E3 by surprising people and then also just like announcing a ton of cool stuff. And so to me, that's what Microsoft did. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, I think as far as games, actual like exclusive games, because, you know, so much of what Microsoft showed, and with the exclusion of like Ori, Will of the Wisps, and Gears 5, and I think the Halo announcement that was up front, you know, the...
Which,
those
by the
things,
way, the tone of that was awesome.
Yeah,
the tone
it was
of the
a
new
super
Halo
cool
looks,
tone.
Yeah, so, I mean, awesome. All that stuff, of course, that's Xbox exclusive. And I think the 5, them buying the 5 studios, it's awesome. It shows a great commitment for the next generation, really, because that's the first time we're going to play any of these games that they're making.
Yeah. Unless Ninja Theory was, like, deep in the throes of making something that we didn't know about. Like, maybe.
Well, which actually is likely.
Yeah.
That's actually
they're pretty
likely.
They are a pretty small team, though. And they've just ported, you know, Hellblade over to Xbox. So that's probably what they were doing between the release of that game and it coming to Xbox. So, I mean, it's possible that they're probably doing a lot of pre-production on something cool. But I mean, as far as games, exclusive games, I thought, you know, Sony by far had the best showing. However, I agree that Microsoft won E3 because the conference was so much better.
Yeah.
Like just there was no weird flute guy like so playing weird.
For like seven
for five
hours.
Minutes. Yeah. Like, and I loved Ghost of Tsushima. Like, don't get me wrong. That looks so good. And Last of Us 2 looks amazing. And Spider-Man is my game of the show. But like, oh my gosh, like the Microsoft conference, especially the way it ended, like they did everything the whole time. And then it ended with the, like,
one
it looked like
thing.
It was over and then they got hacked and all of a sudden it was the Cyberpunk trailer and everyone lost it. And it was that showmanship.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal.
That showmanship was so cool. And I think that's why they won it for me.
That's a big deal.
Also, I was following people that were at the conferences on Twitter. And there was not a single person that was at the Sony conference that didn't complain about how dumb it was that they had to switch from one venue to another, like after a third of it.
Oh, that's terrible.
And there was standing room
showed,
only.
They showed they had the musical number from the guy who does the score, Gustavo, what's his name? And then
from The Last of Us.
And then they showed The Last of Us 2 gameplay, which was amazing. Like, so after about 15 minutes, then they had to take an intermission
and do
pre-show stuff basically for the stream, and then everyone had to walk to a different building and get seated again and get ready.
And by the way, this E3 was huge. Like, you have to walk pretty far to get to different parts of E3.
It was a bad idea, and it did not go off well. Like, watching the stream, I tried watching it live, and like they got to that part where they're like, oh, now we're gonna join these three people I've never heard of and they're gonna talk about stuff that you don't care about for 15 minutes, and I was like, you know what, I'll just watch this later.
So
it would have been much more refreshing if they had just said that.
So what do you think, Mike? What do you think?
I'm really torn on this, right? Because I think Microsoft definitely had the better conference. But kind of like what David was saying earlier, lots of trailers and very little gameplay for all the really big exciting announcements. Whereas
also not a lot of exclusives.
Well, yeah,
no.
Microsoft doesn't have a lot of exclusives right now, which is why they needed to buy those 5 developers. Yeah.
Like,
so
there was some cool stuff that they're showing, right? But like, it's like, okay, here's a Gears trailer, but it's not gameplay. It's like a, you know, it's a pre-rendered trailer. And here's a Halo trailer, but again, it's just a pre-rendered trailer. Here's a Cyberpunk trailer, but it's,
I don't know if it was pre-rendered. I think those were in engine
or
whatever.
Fair enough,
that was
the engine, right? But like, none of these are like necessarily the game, except maybe the Cyberpunk one, who knows.
They said the gameplay looked like the trailer. It just, you know, obviously had game like UI elements and stuff like that.
I think even though I really liked Microsoft's conference a lot, after I watched it, I sat back and like, wow, I can't play any of these games for years. None of them.
Yeah.
So I got kind of more amped up, even though it was a bad conference. I got more amped up for the Sony stuff because I'm like, oh, yeah, these are like all gameplay trailers and I'll probably be playing all these games within the next year or so.
So cool. Here's 4 games I'll probably play. versus yeah. Microsoft. Oh, wow, there's 12 games I'll probably play.
I probably won't play a lot of those games because I don't have an Xbox.
I also want to make a case. I want to get you guys on board with me on this okay. because I want to make a case for how good Skull and Crossbones looks.
Oh, like, Skull and Bones. Yeah.
Oh.
Skull and
Bones,
like, yeah, Skull and Bones did look really cool.
So good.
Yeah, the and more I'm so hearing excited. About it, I'm hearing that it's kind of like a Destiny
but for
game,
pirates.
But a pirates.
Yeah.
Pirate Destiny.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. But I am so excited.
I heard something I didn't like about it, though, which is you can't get off the ship, which mm-mm. I don't like that.
You'll never get off your ship.
Why would you want to?
I want to.
Yeah, I played Assassin's Creed Black Flag, and like every time I was off the boat, I was like, "This is hell."
But
yeah, I was like, why
am I doing things that aren't
like,
on the boat?
I want to like get drunk with other pirates.
I loved the off the boat stuff because you could go diving for treasure in the ocean. You could do like looting pirate caves. Like I don't know, there was a ton of great stuff for that was off.
Okay,
off of the boat.
But it's not like funny to say that, right? So
it wasn't fun, Adam.
So Mike's gonna say Sony because he only ever plays Sony games. So that's
well,
great.
No, that's not true. I play a lot of indie stuff. You know, they did have Just Dance 2019. I am sort of leaning that way now.
Mm-hmm. You're a dancing man mm-hmm. now.
Or was it EA? You
it
know?
Definitely wasn't EA.
You just love
definitely
that
was
FIFA.
Not EA.
You love that
now,
FIFA.
Now, hang on. I want to point out Bethesda, which no one has talked about yet.
Sure.
You know, they had a pretty good conference. I love Bethesda
boring.
Games. No, it wasn't that boring.
I was a little upset that we didn't get to see Doom gameplay. That it was
we should have seen Doom gameplay. But like they announced the Wolfenstein... I guess it's DLC for Wolfenstein 2, which sounds amazing. It's co-op.
Yeah, I like that it's like two female protagonists.
That's pretty cool.
In the new Doom and Rage 2 looks incredible.
Rage 2 does look really
Rage 2
good.
Looks good. I don't know.
And by the way, guys, Mad Max, if you haven't played it, incredible.
Oh,
game.
Yeah, I'm playing that right now, too. It's really good.
It's great.
I'm having fun.
I mean, like, oof, I love that game. Avalanche, I'll play anything Avalanche makes.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're quality devs.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Bethesda had some cool games, but like, I don't know. The conference, I guess it wasn't blowing my skirt up.
It was also a lot of hype. like the fact that people, I mean, okay, yes, I did cheer when Metroid Prime 4 showed up last E3.
Oh, yeah.
But
sure.
The fact that people were like standing ovation for Starfield, I was like, guys, you don't know what it
is.
The only thing that you know about that game is it's going to keep you from playing the next Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Guys, this is called the Elder Scrolls wall. That's what you're going to be. You're cheering a wall right now.
But I will say Todd Howard knows how to work an audience more, like probably better than any other person, like any other personality in gaming right now.
Okay, and can we also say how rad that the Alexa Skyrim?
That was
really funny.
And it's real. That's the best
it's
part.
Real.
Oh my
it's
gosh,
real.
It's amazing.
That's so weird.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, Bethesda didn't seem like they had enough to show. It didn't seem like they had enough to show, like to have a whole conference.
I would agree with you.
You know, it seemed like. You could have just like hopped on to Microsoft or Sony's conference and we would have been just as excited about the games you have coming out.
Because like three of their things were literally just a logo.
That's true. Yeah. But however, I will say I would think I am more likely to play all of the games they talked about in the Bethesda conference than I am the Ubisoft or the EA conference. So, I mean, in that regard, they did a pretty good job. It's just the big, you know, it's hard to top the big three. So.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wait. We're missing one.
Oh,
Devolver Digital.
Devolver Digital.
I didn't even watch that one. Sorry.
They always put on a really hilarious conference. They're not going to win because
right.
Their games aren't that good. Although my friend Pedro looks amazing.
Oh,
that looks so fun.
That's really good.
It looks like Hotline Miami, but like silly.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. And you could play that at the you could play that on the floor.
Oh, seriously?
Did you get a chance to check it out?
I watched it and it's seamless. Like I was watching people play it and I was like, okay, they're not lying. It's as silly and fun as like the trailer makes it
looks
it look.
Awesome.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Like, I was watching a guy kicking a pot up into another room and like fanning a revolver to like hit everybody with ricochets off the pot.
So awesome.
That's amazing.
And I was like, oh, this is good.
Yeah, I love it. Just like, go check out My Friend Pedro on YouTube if you haven't checked it out yet. It's really cool. But yeah, so do we all announce our winners? We had Ubisoft, we had Microsoft, and Mike. What did you
pick Sony.
Land on?
I think I'm going to pick Sony just because there's a bunch of games surprise. I want to play real bad.
Oh man, yeah, Last of Us 2 looks so incredible. Mm-hmm.
We haven't even talked about Ghost of Tsushima.
Ghost of Tsushima looks incredible.
Looks gorgeous. It looks interesting. Yeah. You know, I was a little jarred by going from Naughty Dog absolutely impossibly perfect animation to their kind of strange jerky stiff animation system, which is not fair. It's not fair to come after Naughty Dog. They should have saved that for the end. I think
I know Naughty Dog should have been there.
I don't know if this is totally fair, but I got some pretty strong Witcher vibes off of that game.
Also, keep in mind Ghost of Tsushima's open world, Naughty Dog's not.
Totally
pretty
fair.
Impressive.
Yeah,
it's pretty impressive for an open world game.
Yeah, Ghost of Tsushima. I mean, so between Naughty Dog and Insomniac, like the animation at the Sony conference was so ridiculously good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the fact that like Ghost of Tsushima was like constantly in golden hour. Like that was one of the first games I've ever seen where I was like, oh yeah, as a cinematographer, you can just always be in golden hour when you make a video game. Like, like how the leaves are constantly blowing to make the perfect samurai lighting.
Yep. So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved like the stealth mode kind of stuff, jumping down and being able to like chain stealth attacks to hit multiple guys.
I liked the gunslinger thing where you where you like grab your sword and like wait for them to move. Like, oh man!
Oh, when he like does the one hit kill.
Oh yeah!
Gosh, that was so amazing.
And by the way, like the silence of that moment was perfect with the leaves blowing. And stuff.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, cannot wait. Cannot wait. Mm-hmm. Super jazzed for those. All four of the games that Sony really highlighted.
Yeah.
But definitely excited for Remedy's game, too, though.
Absolutely.
So, so what's a game of E3 for you guys?
Oh. So, I'm sure no one knows what mine is.
Yeah, we'll leave that one for last. The biggest surprise.
Guess mine. I'll bet you guys can't guess Jeremy's.
Jeremy's was Cyberpunk.
Wrong.
Oh.
Unravel 2.
You can play it now.
I really enjoyed Unravel 1, but I haven't had the desire to pick up 2.
Who should go first?
Well, I already spilled the reveal.
I got really excited and couldn't wait.
Yeah.
What did I miss it? I think I missed
it. He said Spider-Man 2, baby.
Spider-Man 2
from the PlayStation 2.
Spider-Man. That's why
Spider-Man also.
Did you time travel to the PS2 Spider-Man?
Yes,
and it blew your mind.
Finally, great game.
I'll go ahead and reveal mine. So, I really wanted to make it Cyberpunk. I really wanted to because I'm very excited about that game, and all of the reviews of the 50-minute gameplay demo are like positively glowing. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen that. So
I'm with you, right?
I can't make it my game of the show because I have not seen these things that everyone else has seen and loved.
I'm with you, David.
So
yeah,
I'm with you, David.
Fair enough.
So yeah, no, it's not my game of the show. That's not fair to me.
No way.
So I'm going to go ahead and I don't think anyone else is
Elder Scrolls.
No, I don't think anyone else is picking this game for game of the show.
Okay.
But I'm a really big fan of games that create a space that I call it like Guy's Night Out, where you just kind of like log on and you can play with your buddies and do whatever they're doing and do it all together. And like, I really enjoy games like that. Like, that's one of the reasons why I'm still playing Destiny, because it just creates like a really cool way to hang out with your buddies. And so to me,
Fortnite, you're a Fortnite. Next.
No. So Fallout 76.
It
sounds like I like the Fallout gameplay. Like, I love the way that game plays, and it's going to be really fun to see how they make it. And we saw some examples of it, and I'm on board. I want to play with my brother. I want to play with
dude. I'm excited to nuke somebody.
So yeah, that's my game of the show, and it's coming out really soon. So
very cool. Yeah.
David, when's the release date on that?
It's like I think it's like...
Is it February 22nd, like all
no,
the other
I
games?
No, I think it's November, oh, actually.
Luckily, my birthday is February 24th, so...
I think it's... yeah, it's November...
Feel like I want every game.
It's November 14th, so not too far.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
Okay, not too bad.
Anyone else want to reveal their game of the show, or is that it? Are we done?
Who's next?
I'll go. I'll go.
Yeah, go for it, Jeremy.
We haven't even talked about it yet.
Oh, really?
Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice.
Oh, That's my gosh. Yeah, that looks really fun.
Nice. Yeah, the
I'm
new From
such
Software.
A huge Miyazaki fan, and I love Dark Souls to death, and this is them opening up. Bloodborne, I think, is probably top five best games of all time for me.
Wow.
So, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice looks like it's another evolution. Mm-hmm. And I love, like, a lot of fans are super upset that it isn't in the Dark Souls vein of, like, loadouts and XP and, what would you call that? Like, classes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm such a huge fan of Tenchu. And this whole time I was hoping to God that this was Tenchu. And when I saw what it actually was, I was like, oh my gosh, it's them doing Tenchu, but just a little bit more Dark Souls. Like, it's like a Dark Souls Tenchu.
Huh.
And I'm hyped. I am as hyped as you can be, to the point where I'm like, I can't think about it. I just can't think about the game because it will drive me crazy because I need to play Sekiro.
Yeah, that was another one they showed at the Microsoft conference that it was just like, yes, I can't believe it. Yeah,
I know.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So that's yours. And then Mike?
I'm kind of with David. I really wanted to pick Cyberpunk because I felt like I've read a million articles about it. I'm very excited for it, but I didn't get a chance to see it.
I mean, objectively, it probably is the game
objectively,
of the show.
Yes. Objectively, yes. But that's one thing we're definitely not here.
I can't see that for myself. So
right. So, right. And I'm really excited about all the games we talked about so far. But I think the one that caught me the most by surprise, so I'm really excited for almost that reason alone, is Remedy Studios' new game, Control.
Yeah.
I'm really so jazzed about that.
It looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks really good. Awesome. Did you watch the gameplay demo? Not just the trailer they showed at Microsoft or at Sony conference, but the actual, like, 10-minute
Yeah, we're like throwing boxes and stuff around. And
yeah, it looks so fun.
So cool.
So it's using the same engine as Quantum Break.
Is it really?
Yeah, it looks like it, yeah.
And it's the same actress, hilariously.
That's really cool, actually.
Yeah, man, reused assets.
I know, it is. I know, they were like, hell yeah, boy.
Okay.
Hey, can you give us something just like Quantum Break? We can give you Quantum Break. No. Something just like it. Yeah, we can do that.
So you guys,
yeah.
Here's my game of the show.
Wait,
you guys ready?
Wait, you already?
No, I'm not ready.
All right, I know you guys won't be able to guess it.
You already said it.
No, that's all been edited out. So,
welcome to the new flesh. Behold the new flesh.
So, oh my gosh. So we all know Spider-Man is shaping up so well. Yeah. It looks incredible.
Yeah, we all know it.
Animations, the swinging around, the combat, the stealth, the cinematics, like it all looks top notch.
Right.
And I couldn't be more excited about it. What they showed at E3 with like that huge pursuit of like, chasing down Electro and running up walls and like fighting a bunch of dudes. It definitely had shades of Arkham, but also, you know, this whole new dimension because of the swinging, you know, that totally different Spider-Man feel. Yeah.
Ways.
So, I mean, it just looks like the Spider-Man game I've always wanted and I'm so happy.
Oh yeah.
So happy.
I'm very, very happy. It looks so good. I can't wait.
Oh, you're going to Spider. I thought you were changing your name.
No.
When you
so it is just game of the show. About game of the show for me, you guys.
Oh yeah,
Spider-Man. Yeah.
Wow. Then I want you to edit out my thing because I'm going to talk about Sekiro again.
Hey Adam, can you take out the part where I talked about Fallout 76? Because I really want to talk about it some more too.
Yeah, it's gone.
Oh, good.
Consider it gone. I'm not, you guys, it has been a very long show already. We should probably wrap it
up. Let's do it.
Any closing thoughts?
No, I'm going to die if we don't end the show.
Closing thoughts.
I have a closing thought.
Yeah.
No Final Fantasy VII remake at E3.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I feel I'm nervous. Oh, but Resident Evil 2 remake looks amazing. Like, out of nowhere.
Yes.
In the 7 engine.
Yeah.
And in the 7 engine.
It looks so good. That was close. Yeah, that's like probably awesome. My second game of the show. Like, my number two.
Yeah. I was so excited for that. So excited. All right, so you guys.
Yeah.
End of the show plugs for men and women and AI.
Mm.
Oh.
So, Jeremy.
Mm.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, Football Heroes is coming to Switch. Beginning of the football season.
Sweet.
And PC. So, Football Heroes, look out for that. It's going to be one of the first football games on the Switch.
That's awesome.
And it's
That's a
really fun tech mobile inspired game.
Man, that is super cool. I can't wait to see it blow up, and then I'll be like, I knew him when.
Also, I knew him anything, when. Anything funny in that game, if you see any like writing or anything, that's me. Because I insisted we put funny things in that game.
Oh, that's awesome. So, good times. So
enjoy.
Yeah, Football
it's a great
Heroes.
Game, by the way. You're gonna love it.
Nice.
Yeah, I have super fond memories of Tecmo Bowl from the old days. So yeah, I'm into it.
All right.
And you can keep up with us at sbfvgs.com. You can find links to our episodes, social media, Twitch channel, merchandise, and more there. And also, you can support our show by telling your very own super best friends about this show. Subscribing on twitch.tv/sbfvgs is another way. You can also leave us a delightful iTunes review. That's another way you can support this show. You can sign up for that sweet Gamefly trial at gameflyoffer.com/sbfvgs. Oh, and
don't get frustrated. It's very special. You're doing a great job, Adam.
And no, I was just out of breath because I'm fat. So, a very special thanks to Eric Kruger for our podcast logo and for his handsome face. A very special thanks to our OG super best friend Jeremy Fox for being on the show with us again.
My pleasure.
Wait, Mike, though.
Excellent. What? Excellent times.
Mike, he talked about Eric Kruger's handsome face.
Oh, I'm sorry. You couldn't hear. I was just biting my bottom lip real hard.
Okay, good.
That's hot.
Man.
Nice.
You can follow us on Twitter at SBFVGS Podcast. I'm on there. Barry White, BURYWITE. Mike is Taco Douglas. David is David J. Tate. Jeremy is J. Lee Fox, I believe. Correct?
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
JAYLEEFOX.
Yeah,
you got it.
Nice.
Nice.
And you can check our Twitter profiles for PSN, Xbox Live, Switch info, if you want to play games with us online and be our friend. And that's all the time we have for Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover episode 98. Thank you for listening. We'll be back every 2 weeks with more from the handsomest gents in audio-only podcasting and more talk on gaming. Hit us up with your questions, topics, or musings if you want to be part of the show. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.